What's up, everybody? Welcome to the Pick Six Podcast, CBS Sports Daily NFL Podcast. I'm Will Brinson. I'm your host. It is time for a little Monday night football preview of the Ravens and the Raiders. Week one wraps up this evening. It is obviously Monday, September 13th, and joining us to break down week one from a gambling and DFS perspective, the one, the only, Tyler Sullivan. Sully, what's up, buddy? How are we doing?
What's going on, Will? How you doing?
How was your Sunday?
It was great. It was great. Woke up, did a little bit of our, we do like a gambling live blog here at CBS. Yeah. So I was doing all that. And then once that was done, I had to immediately get in my car and fight traffic to get to the Patriots game. But it was great. No, it was a good time. You know, obviously fun to be back into a jam-packed stadium and all that. I was just talking to Debo about that prior to us getting on. Like, that's the fun stuff. That was great.
It was cool seeing crowds being back. And it is weird. It's weird being in a full stadium full of people. And tonight's game should be exciting, too, from that perspective, because we've never seen the Vegas Raiders with a full stadium of fans. And I don't know what to expect, honestly. I think it'll be Raiders fans from Vegas or not from Vegas.
Yeah, it would have to be, right? I mean, I don't know. You know,
the bachelor parties, right?
Like, exactly. Like I feel like when we were talking about Vegas starting, right, we were like, all right, is it going to be like that? Is it going to be like the bachelor weekend? You know, you're going to be a bunch of buddies. They love the Ravens. They're going to go do that whole thing. But how many of those Ravens fans are there actually going to be?
Well, I mean, also, like, how many of those guys are sticking around till Monday night?
Well, that's also true, right?
Maybe you're a Ravens fan. You play your bachelor party. You go, or bachelorette party. I know one of the most diehard Ravens fans I know, Sarah Sims Chesson, my good friend, she's already married with several children, so I doubt she's planning a bachelorette party. But you get the point. You know, maybe you plan it. You're like, let's stay out till Tuesday. What screams I'm good at my job and care about work more than taking a bachelorette party until Tuesday or Wednesday? And then you need Wednesday off because you went out.
I was just going to say, it's a Tuesday, but it really turns into a Wednesday. And then you get to Thursday, Friday, like, oh, I'll just take those days off. And then you're out the entire week.
Your boss is like, why don't you just take Thursday and Friday off? Don't bother coming in on Thursday or Friday. In the feed, we have our full week one recap. It is 1 hour and 59 minutes long. We got in under 2 hours, could not get 90 minutes done. Debo laughed at me when I suggested we could. He was correct and accurate to suggest that. Also coming up in the feed, Monday Night Football reaction from this game. We will have that with the Super Friends after the game. If you want to use your football expertise to win big-time cash prizes, you've got your chance with Football Pick'em from CBS Sports. Correctly pick the entire slate of one week's games, and you can win the $100,000 jackpot this week and every week of the season by visiting cbssports.com/pick. Even if no one wins the weekly jackpot by going perfect against the spread, we're still giving away $1,000 in guaranteed cash to the winner each week and $5,000 to the season-long champ. So don't wait. Make your picks and compete for the $100,000 jackpot today by visiting cbssports.com/picks. Okay, so the game at hand features one-time MVP Lamar Jackson and the banged-up Ravens, who've just had a miserable offseason from a skill position perspective, losing three running backs to ACL injuries and dealing with injuries of various kinds to lots of wide receivers. It's just been tough for them. They are -4 on the road, regardless of going to play Derek Carr, John Gruden, and the Raiders in Las Vegas. The over-under here is 50.5. The Ravens on the money line are -200. The Raiders are +170. Also on the injury report, Josh Jacobs popped up. He is on there with an illness and is at the last minute questionable to play in this game, which means we might get our full allotment of Kenyon Drake. It's also going to make picking props a little more difficult because in some places, if you're trying to bet on player props, and you know, we're fortunate because I believe that do we have rushing yards? I don't even think we have rushing.
I don't know if CBS has that, but there are some with Kenyon Drake in there. So you can find ones if you really want to.
Yeah, my point being is that if you're trying to bet on rushing props for the Raiders, you're probably not going to be able to until a lot closer to the game. And just because we don't know if Josh Jacobs is going to play. If he plays with an illness, anyway, we'll see. But that's a huge factor. Even if he's just a running back, it's going to change how the Raiders approach this game, I think.
Yeah, of course. And really, it's the both backfields, right? I mean, that's exactly what the key to this game is going to be, whether it's Jacobs fighting through that illness or he doesn't. We get all Kenyon Drake. And on the other side, with Baltimore, too, you know, we all think we know what it's going to look like, but we're not 100% sure. I mean, Tyson Williams is going to be the starter, we presume, but that doesn't necessarily mean with this team that he's going to lead the team in carries, because they have a guy like Lamar Jackson who can make a ton of plays with his legs. So it is going to be an interesting thing to kind of digest here.
Yeah, I actually think if I'm making a pick on this game, I think I'm going – I have a hard time with this one, because to me the Ravens are a much better team. I don't like the Raiders. I don't think the Raiders are going to be great this year. I don't have any hopes for their defense. And while I think their offense should be better, or should just be above average, and we'll see how high the ceiling is for their offense, I don't feel like the Raiders are a dynamic, explosive offense. You know, they have a high ceiling, or a high floor, I guess. I just don't know how high their ceiling is. Darren Waller, of course, one of the best tight ends in football. Henry Ruggs, we'll see. Brian Edwards, are one of these guys going to develop? What is this offensive line going to look like? Will we find out what this offensive line looks like? Because do the Ravens have a pass rush? They lost Marcus Peters to an ACL. It's very hard to get a grip. Yeah. I pulled a Jameis there. On what kind of challenge the Ravens defense will present, and what kind of ability the Raiders will have to stop them from a blocking perspective.
Yeah, I think I mentioned this to you a while ago during the offseason when I was on with you, and I was talking about the Raiders offense. I like their pieces individually. I just don't know if I like them as a whole. Like, obviously, like you said, Waller's great. Carr can hold his own. Henry Ruggs, you can even talk me into as a, you know, first round receiver, kind of maybe could pop. Brian Edwards, same thing. Hunter Renfro. But then when you kind of put them all together, you're just kind of like, I don't know exactly what I'm looking at here. And defensively too, I just don't think that they're up to snuff going up against the Ravens. I like the Ravens too. I think that this is a game where I'm just completely looking at them despite all of the injuries. I just think that they're well coached. I think they're just an overall more talented roster. So to me, it's not a no-brainer, because obviously you have to have some pause when just these injuries just keep piling up for Baltimore. But for me, it's pretty clear that I'm laying the points here on the road and going with them.
So I'm taking the Raiders, and I don't really have a good reason for it. I don't feel good about it. It wouldn't have been anywhere near my best bets. I don't feel comfortable backing the Raiders at +4. The crowd should be a factor, but I'm not sure how much it will really matter for Lamar Jackson and what they want to do on offense, because of how much they use Lamar Jackson's legs and how they like to run. You know, you can run RPOs and quarterback. You know, you can. It's a lot easier to when it comes to communication and allowed space to run those kind of plays, I think, than to, you know, have to orchestrate a complicated passing game. And the Ravens have been very good in Week One. I think they've won their last Week One games by 30 plus points, which is the first time in NFL history that somebody's done that. Lamar has lit up bad defenses in Week One in the past 2 years, and he's going to get a chance to light up a bad defense in the Raiders if they come out and play well.
So I can give you those, the past 5 Week Ones for the Ravens, 5-0 against the spread. And then when they're a road favorite, 6-0 against the spread in their last 6. I mean, they are very good in these spots. And, you know, we even talked about it in the preseason when they went, you know, they've been on this historic pace too. They just, you know, Harbaugh has them coached well enough in these Week One games where they know what they're doing. Again, these injuries could throw a wrench in that whole thing. But sure, Ultimately, if we're looking at it on its face value, the Ravens are a great bet in these games here.
Yeah, for sure. So I'm probably staying away, you know, on my official, I think on CBSSports.com, and then in my like picks leagues and everything, I've got the Raiders +4, +4.5. I'm probably going to stay away from actually betting on that number. I think I will take the over here at 50, at 51 or 50.5, depending on where you look. There's just going to be points in this game. You know, when you look at the injuries, when you look at this, when you look at the defense for the Raiders, it hasn't been good. And when you look at the injuries to Baltimore, I think that you'll see the Raiders be able to score. Pete Prisco had that as one of his best bets. I can see that coming to fruition where, you know, you just end up getting some big plays, some, even if there's some longer drives that culminate in touchdowns. And if I'm taking anything on a side or a total here, it's the over.
Yeah, see, I'm a little bit more looking towards the under on this one, just because I always get a little bit nervous with the Ravens offense. Like I said, I like their pieces individually, but you could tell me that they're not going, you know, light up the scoreboard effectively, and it wouldn't shock me at all. I mean, yes, Carr can throw for a couple of touchdowns, but I don't know what that backfield's going to look like with Josh Jacobs dealing with an injury. Worst case scenario is he plays with this illness, and he's just not the same guy, and he's bogging down the offense. And also, we don't know really what Kenyon Drake's role specifically is going to be here as well. And the receivers outside of Waller at the tight end position, we don't know exactly what they're going to do. I know when we get into props, there are some things I like about those guys, but ultimately, I still have a ton of questions about that offense. And then when you look at the Ravens, they're still good defensively. Yes, they obviously, you know, have injuries that are hurting them, but I still think that they are well enough equipped to shut down this offense to some degree. And then when you look on the other side, this team, like we've been saying, injuries have been so crazy. So if they get out to any sort of an early lead here, I could see Harbaugh just completely trying to lean on the run, get out healthy, kill as much clock as you can. And that's the script of where you could see an under start to hit there. And there's a couple of trends here as well. The under is 5-2 in Baltimore's last 7 week one games. The under is also 5-1 in the Raiders' last 5 Monday night games.
The concern would be there's two paths where you can't get to that over, and it's Baltimore has a big lead and just, like you say, just run, eat clock, run. Now you can jailbreak a couple, but sure, they probably would prefer with all the injuries to try and, you know, minimize the amount of time these guys have to be on the field. On the other hand, you know, they may want to come out and make a statement and say, look, yeah, we got a bunch of dudes who are hurt. We're not worried about it. We're still going to put up points. And I'm pretty sure that if they score enough, that the Raiders will be able to come back the other way and put up points on them as well via the air. You're just going to see some garbage time points. And if they can get Derek Carr into full, you know, get John Gruden into full, like, all right, we're throwing every down mode, then I think you're going to see the Raiders start to play catch up, and then you start to see the points kind of come, particularly in the second half. Maybe the first half under is a look too as well.
Yeah, probably that's probably the better way to look, the under in the first half as well. I mean, again, I like it for the entire game, but ultimately that's if you're kind of, and this is admittedly a tough game to kind of figure out and kind of bet. I mean, you know, like you were saying, it's not in your best bets or anything like that. It's tough for me to gauge. It wasn't in one of my 5 best bets for the week. So it is tough to kind of figure out what this game is going to look like. But ultimately, to me, you know, you could see an over in a standpoint of similar to what we saw last night too, where it's, you know, the Rams are scoring 30 plus points and the Bears, all they have to do is get into the teens. And yeah, there you go, you're cashing. So there are obviously different ways to get there, you know, different ways of skin a cat, as they say. But like, to me, you know, I still like the under just because I don't know if I trust that offense with the Raiders. And ultimately, I think that the Ravens are trying to run the ball, get out healthy, and just move on to week two.
Yeah, entirely possible that that's your plan. And by the way, that game, you know, it just goes to show you how hard it is to, when you look at these totals. I mean, that game on Sunday night was a 46 total. And the game tonight, obviously 51. The game last night, you know, you could see a similar score, 34-14. It would land in between them. It would go under. And, you know, there was a late garbage time touchdown from the Rams. And, you know, you got it's betting on the NFL. You just got to get lucky. You know what I mean? If you don't have pure conviction on a side or a total, and even if you do, and even if you're right, I had the Cardinals Titans over as one of my best bets and had it several units on it, and it was locked. It was over. And then they didn't score a single point in the fourth quarter. NFL betting on the NFL is really hard.
Yeah, of course it is. I mean, look at that Lions game yesterday. That was fun for a lot of people. You know, that
right. So it's significant to some that final Lions 2-point conversion, if you, depending on when you bet it and what number you got it at. So
and then going right off of that too, with this over here, it opened at 52. So it's consistently been going down. People have been liking the under. So it's really been drawing this number down. 50.5, we have it now. So, you know, that's a pretty substantial drop here. I'd be curious to see what happens. And I believe it was at 51 up until Saturday. So I don't know if that, you know, the Josh Jacobs news came out after that. So I'd be curious to see how that kind of all plays out as we get closer to kickoff here too.
Yeah. And again, you know, when we look at the Ravens, there's a really good chance that we're going to see, I don't know, I mean, between Le'Veon Bell, Tyson Williams, Lamar Jackson, Trenton Cannon, I guess that's everybody they've got promoted to the active roster.
I believe so. Yes.
Yeah. I mean, there's a pretty good chance we're going to see somewhere between, you know, I mean, somewhere in the 30-ish range in terms of carries. And you got, you know, if you're running the ball that much, then it keeps the clock moving. Now, on the other hand, if the Raiders come out and jump all over the Ravens and the Ravens are losing, we could see the Ravens panic and start to throw the ball more, and that completely changes what we think of the total in this game and the side in this game. But that's
right. I mean, at that point, you're looking at Marquise Brown. You're looking at, you know, props for Mark Andrews. I mean, that's the point where you're starting to hit those guys big.
Well, let's take a quick break, then we'll talk about those props next. The all-new Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe is equipped with everything you need to break free from the dull work week and embark on an adventurous weekend with your family. The all-new Hyundai Santa Fe's features like available H-Track all-wheel drive, standard third-row seating, available dual wireless charging pads ensure you can take on any adventure. Available H-Track all-wheel drives, you can take on the dirt trails and kick up some mud. Standard third-row seating so your whole family can experience the thrill together. Available dual wireless charging pads so no one gets stuck in the great outdoors with a dead phone. Whether you're tailgating out in the dirt lot, Carter Finley, shout out Carter Finley, or whether you're whitewater rafting, taking the entire family on an adventurous trip, maybe you're out camping at Mount Rogers. I used to go as a kid. I wish my parents had a Hyundai Santa Fe. The Hyundai Santa Fe is perfect for your family outing. Learn more about the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe at HyundaiUSA.com. Call 562-314-4603 for complete details.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.
Okay, so my favorite prop in this game, and I'm going to get to it because people who are watching this need to go bet it now because it is flying up. It's Tyson Williams over rush yards. I sent it in shocking form and fashion. I sent it in before our week one recap pod. I'm sure both you and Debo were like, "What is this?" Is like the help me, I'm kidnapped email when I send something so far ahead of time that it's in there. Tyson Williams. So I bet it. I sent in 60 and a half, right? Last night.
I believe that's true.
I think so. It is still 60 and a half at Caesars. In the place I bet it last night, it is now, look and see, 62 and a half. So it's moved up 2 yards. So yay for me. The 2 yards matter a ton when you talk about rushing yard props. You're talking about a percentage that it has. I still think that 62 and a half is very short. I would bet this up to 67 and a half. It's gotten a little out of control if you get it up to 67 and a half. So go ahead and get that in now. If Tyson Williams, the implication from John Harbaugh leading up to this game is that Tyson Williams is going to be, they like this kid. Rookie, you know, if you're going to be a rookie and make an impact, this is a good spot, right? A good offensive line. You have a mobile quarterback who opens up holes. You have a defense that has just not been good since John Gruden got there. And all indications are that they're going to give Williams the opportunity to win the starting job and to run as much as he can. So this number is, I believe, woefully short of where it should be. And it's a two unit over on rush yards at 60 and a half. I would encourage everybody to go get it now because I think it probably closer to seven. Maybe, I don't know how high it goes. It all depends on what we sort of hear from the Ravens pregame, and we may not hear anything about where they plan to go with the carry share and all of that. What about Lamar Jackson, 72 and a half? I've got 74 and a half juice to the over on my local. So there's some potentially some value there at 74 and a half. That's a little steep for me, but I'm not betting an under on Lamar Jackson rushing props.
Right, right. That one is just a stay away. I wouldn't even touch that one just because, you know, Jackson, he's one of those guys you can rip it off and pretty much one
play. Exactly. If you can be the opening play from scrimmage.
Right. So to me, the Williams one is the rushing prop to hit the over on that one. I'm right there with you. You know, that just makes all the sense in the world. I mean, even when J.K. Dobbins went down and Gus Edwards was promoted to be the guy, there was still talk that Tyson Williams was going to be a factor in this backfield. Like it was not just a, oh, Gus Edwards and J.K. Dobbins went down, here comes Tyson Williams. No, no, no. He was going to be a factor even before this Gus Edwards ACL tear. And so the fact that they like him that much instills a lot of confidence here. And like you said, the opportunities in front of him to really go after it. If you're looking at Lamar Jackson, to me, the one that I put in last night, the one that I love, is the total rushing attempts over 11.5. He did it in 6 of his 15 games last year, and now we're talking about a backfield that's completely different, where these might be asked to run a little bit more just to help the rookie running back and Tyson Williams. So to me, that one, completely hammer that one. I think that one's, you know, take it to the bank. He'll easily get that.
Yeah, he's actually not up on the board for carries on my local site, but I agree with you there. I like the 11.5. It's juiced to the over. You know, you don't like to lay juice, but – if you know, I mean, it typically indicates that something's about to, it's going to, juice usually indicates a move of some kind, which means this should probably go up. So now would be a good time to bet that as well.
Right.
And the thing with Lamar Jackson rushing attempts is you don't have, there's no individual game script that will throw that off. The only thing that could really ruin you is if he throws, I guess there is one. I mean, the one that could ruin you is Lamar Jackson throws 3 early passing touchdowns to Marquise Brown and Mark Andrews, and then the Raiders can't score, and the Ravens are just handing it off and not running it with Lamar to make sure that he stays healthy. Because as much as we have concerns about their running back injuries and the wide receivers being banged up, nothing matters as long as Lamar Jackson is out there on the field, and they don't want him to take a bunch of unnecessary shots. So that would be my only concern there. I like that over on Tyson Williams rushing attempts as well. It looks like it's juiced to the under at 14.5, but I would anticipate that he gets – again, and you know, you have a lot of different ways to get there. There's just no, I mean, are they going to give Le'Veon Bell the ball 20 times? I don't think so. I would expect that Tyson Williams gets somewhere in the range of 15 to 20 carries and potentially more if the Ravens are blowing out the Raiders.
Right. Like, I'm not expecting Le'Veon Bell to be any sort of a crazy factor tonight. You know, again, huge name. He's probably a huge claim on the waiver wire with all your fantasy teams and stuff like that. Like, I get it. Like, you know, he's a guy that obviously, I think I picked him up in a couple of leagues just to see what happens, because if he comes anywhere close, you know, that's a potentially, you know, huge addition that you can have to your roster going forward. I don't want to say league winner, but it does help. Yeah. But for tonight, week one, only been on the team for a little bit, I'm leaning a little bit more towards, or not a little bit more towards, a lot towards Williams, just to really carry the load there offensively in that backfield.
Yeah, I agree completely. That, again, love the over on Tyson Williams rushing yards, and like the over on Tyson Williams carries at 14.5. The rushing yard, 16.5, again, somewhere, you know, you can take it up to 65, 67 if you want, but just be cautious on it. In the passing game, this is a scary, scary game for passing game. Although I guess the Raiders maybe present a little bit of interest. Who piques your curiosity in the passing game from a props perspective? Maybe a receptions play.
Yeah, so I like Mark Andrews' total receptions for over 4.5. I mean, to me, he is going to continue to be the go-to receiver for Lamar Jackson in this offense, because as much as we're talking about, you know, the running backs being kind of banged up, we still don't know what the receiver unit's going to look like. I mean, but the one consistent option for Lamar Jackson is going to be Mark Andrews. He's hit this total in 6 of his games last season. So to me, it's only going to increase if there's an issue with the backfield or anything along those lines where they can't move the ball effectively on the ground with Williams. So to me, that's what I'm looking at here. Andrews for me is just is a great DFS play, a great over for this prop, and I have him in a bunch of season-long fantasy as well.
Yeah, and there's a pretty good chance that the Raiders won't be able to cover Mark Andrews. One, look at the contract. You know, there's I've seen some in some places where people have, like smart fantasy folks have said that there's a pathway to Mark Andrews being tight end one this year. Now, he's probably more like, I mean, he's definitely going to be a tight end one for, you know, And we're talking tight end, overall number one tight end. I think that's probably unlikely. There's definitely the pathway for it to happen. Sure. But yeah, we already saw George Kittle looking sharp for the 49ers. We saw, of course, Travis Kelce come out and play really
Hockenson
well.
Hockenson looked great.
Hockenson looked great. Darren Waller's on the other side, you know, of this game and is always a threat to be the tight end one. Andrews, I just don't know if he'll get the volume to be tight end one, but I certainly think that you could see him get the volume here where he gets over five catches. I don't love the juice at that price, but he's the number one passing option in this right. offense. I actually have a prop I like on the over for receiving yards, and that is with Marquise Hollywood Brown, who is, I think when I sent it in last night, was at 48.5 receiving yards, and now is at, what's he at here? We're on youtube.com/pick6, by the way, if you want to watch. We're live on there. I don't know why they do it in that weird format, D, but there you go. You got it. Let's see. What's Hollywood Brown at now? 48.5 still on Caesars. I've seen it creep up to 50.5. Yep. 48.5 is a smash spot
for me
because there's just no one out there.
Yeah.
If they don't have any, everyone's hurt. And Hollywood Brown expected to play. You can get one deep ball and this prop is over. He's not going to be a possession receiver or anything, but he's going up against a secondary that just can't stop anybody. And I expect Brown to be able to pick up three or four, five catches and be a bigger part of this offense than people have anticipated in the past few years, especially because his status is a first round pick in his third year. This is a guy who was explosive coming out of college and can certainly end up going over 50 total yards. I think he'll be closer to 60, 75.
And you got to remember what he was looking at the tail end of last year. He was looking great. Last six games in the regular season, he had averaged a touchdown a game. In the playoffs, he was averaging 98 receiving yards a game. So to me, yeah, this one, if he can carry over what we saw in the tail end of 2020 into 2021, and like you said, when you get these, you know, first-round receivers, it's year two, it's year three, you're kind of in that sweet spot to kind of explode a little bit. To me, the matchup's great. That's one that should easily get the over there as well. He went over this total in 7 of his 16 games played last season too.
Anything else you like in the passing game?
Well, I'll give the Raiders some love here too. I do like the Henry Ruggs receiving yards prop over 34.5. To me, it seems like they want him to be a huge part of this offense. I know last year wasn't particularly great. You know, first round didn't live up to the expectations. But when you look at what they did over the course of the offseason, they let Nelson Agholor go. They kind of free up a scenario for him to really attain. I don't know if it's going to be that number one receiver spot, because obviously it's going to go to Waller, and Edwards is certainly going to factor in. But when you talk about that deep threat standpoint, Ruggs to me is a guy very similar to Brown, where the volume might not be crazy there, but all it takes is possibly one catch or two catches to cash this over here. So to me, it makes all the sense in the world to kind of keep an eye on this, especially if the Ravens do get out to some sort of a lead and all of a sudden you do have to take some deep shots. If you're the Raiders offense with Derek Carr, that's an area where you're saying, okay, who's the guy that could break open a huge touchdown for me if Waller is covered? It's Ruggs, in my opinion.
Sorry, I think I finally trapped the bug that's been
there. You go. In the
office for like, oh, I got him! We got him, ladies and gentlemen.
Love it.
I was flying around all last night. I don't know where he lives or how he got here, but he's a little like, he was buzzing in front of me. Anyway. What a win for me. I like the Ruggs prop as well. In fact, I just bet it on my side. I got 38.5. So I think if you're looking at these on Caesars, and you know, again, shop around if you're able, because you want to get the best number when you're making these bets. But I think if you're looking at these on Caesars, that number for Ruggs ends up getting closer to 40, and that number for Hollywood Brown that we were talking about ends up getting closer to 50. So if you want to bet those overs on those receiving props, go ahead and get them in now. Sammy,
and I'll just tell you really quick on that last point about Ruggs too. You know, we all talk about how it wasn't particularly great rookie season for him, and we're all, you know, was left a lot to be desired. But he hit this over prop in 6 of his 13 games played. So you know, you're talking about a guy who we think is going to be much improved in year two, and he's already hit this almost half the time that he played in his game. So to me, that one makes all the sense in the world.
Well, and the other thing about the Ruggs over is, If you look at his first game against Carolina, 5 targets, 3 catches, 55 yards. I believe he got hurt in that game. He was looking like he was on pace to have a monster game. Misses, plays a little bit in week two, doesn't get it, comes back against Kansas City and goes, has 2 catches for 118 yards, which is just ridiculous. You know, 59 yards a catch. What John Gruden is easy to figure out, okay? Complex, crazy person, but easy to figure out in terms of what he drafted Henry Ruggs in the first round. Henry Ruggs has been a disappointment. He's going to scheme up Henry Ruggs and get the ball to Henry Ruggs in week one. When you know Henry Ruggs is healthy, he is going to find ways to get the ball to Henry Ruggs. Now, maybe some of that will be into rounds. I don't think a Henry Ruggs rush prop is that crazy to look at, but he's going to get him open on screens. He's going to get him open on, you know, different creative ways to make sure they get the ball in his hands in space to try and generate yardage from and make sure people are like, oh, Ruggs, first round pick, doing very nicely. John Gruden wants to justify that pick, so I like that over as well. Any other props? Oh, yeah, let's do some lotto ticket props.
Yep.
Or do you, because that's all we, I think that's all we have. All right, you got a lottery ticket prop for us.
Yeah, and I think this one you should, again, continue to monitor. I wouldn't place it just yet. I would actually wait to see what happens with Josh Jacobs, because if he does play, I think it could even be a bigger lottery ticket. But it's a touchdown. It's a combined touchdown. Kenyon Drake and Lamar Jackson need to score to cash this ticket. I think it was plus 450 at the time I put it in. But to me, if you're, you know, and this was right off the heels of, okay, we don't know what's going on with Josh Jacobs. The news is coming down. A lot of the rushing props were taken off. But this one is where you can get some Kenyon Drake action if you want to. And to me, I still think regardless of if he plays or not, they gave him a boatload of money this offseason. They were criticized. And like you were saying, you know, to the nth degree of why you have Josh Jacobs, why are you giving all this money to Kenyon Drake?
I mean, John Gruden will run Kenyon Drake into the ground and come out and be like, I don't know why everybody's criticizing what we did with Kenyon Drake. I mean, this
and so if you want to play that narrative, you can conceivably see, obviously, Lamar Jackson scoring a rushing touchdown. That one you could wrap your brain around. But also, when you talk about the Gruden factor, you can see how Kenyon Drake finds his way in there at some point or another. Obviously, he was kind of a red zone back during his days with the Arizona Cardinals. So again, could this be a role where he's moved around a little bit with the Raiders now? We'll see how they specifically start to use him. But to me, that one is shot in the dark. But if you want, wait a little bit, because if Josh Jacobs is active, that's going to get juiced up even more. Yeah. And I still like it regardless.
Yeah, kind of monitor the buzz and see whether or not we think Josh Jacobs is going to play. I actually like Lamar Jackson to score a touchdown anytime at plus 111. I mean, they run him in the red zone all the time. Tyson Williams, by the way, if you're on Caesars and you go to the odds boost section, you get plus 140 for Tyson Williams to score a touchdown. That's a pretty good number as well. 122, I think, on the regular one. So I would think those two would be worth a little stab for my lotto ticket prop. And this is, you know, we're looking, I mean, you could, we're not looking for like 40 to 1 here, you know. We're not, right. I mean, but you know, we're just looking to first Baltimore Ravens touchdown score. Lamar Jackson, the favorite, obviously. Tyson Williams right after him. But Mark Andrews, 4.5 to 1. And then Marquise Brown, 7 to 1. I think both of those are really interesting because and what we've seen from the Ravens the last 2 years with Lamar Jackson under center is that they are willing to throw the ball in week one, to use play action to draw the defense in and then go over top either to Andrews in the red zone or maybe to Hollywood Brown from a little further deeper out. And at 4.5 to 1, at 7 to 1 is basically the healthiest, you know, normal targets that we're used to that Lamar Jackson's familiar with. I could see those guys getting shots there early in the game. So I like the idea of those guys being there. And you don't have to worry about the Ravens scoring or the Raiders scoring. It's first Ravens touchdown there.
Yeah, you don't have to worry about a coin flip completely screwing you over right out of the gate there.
Right, exactly.
But to me, too, like, you know, again, like we've been saying about this Baltimore offense, if they're not going to run right now, they're looking at two guys. It's going to be Mark Andrews or Marquise Brown. Like, those are Lamar Jackson's first two reads, I would guarantee you, on every single dropback that he has tonight. That is probably what it's going to look like. So to me, absolutely. And that doesn't really change when they get in the red area. Marquise Brown has a little bit more of that completely game-breaking, you know, 70-yard touchdown ability, but he's still somebody that he would look at when you get a little bit closer to the red area as well. So I do like that.
Darren Waller's plus 425 to be the first Raiders touchdown. That's actually a bet, too.
Yeah, 100%.
There's no reason. He shouldn't be Josh Jacobs is the favorite at plus 280. I mean, of course, Ruggs and Drake are Drake at plus 750. Actually, that's a bet too. You can go bet that right now.
Right.
Caesars.
Yeah.
And if Jacobs is ruled out, Kenyon Drake will be the favorite to score the first touchdown or the second favorite behind Darren Waller. If you have access to that, take 7.5 to 1 on the odds that Josh Jacobs is ruled out and you get Kenyon Drake first touchdown. Or as Sully says, monitor the news. And if you start seeing that if it starts looking like he's clearly going to be out, then go take a stab at that. All right, let's talk some DraftKings. Let's see if I can successfully share my screen. Last time I did it, I messed up. Devo's like, you're showing everybody your ass. I don't know exactly what I was showing, but I think we should be good. All right, let's see. There we go. Yeah. Nice. Okay, so Lamar Jackson. Clearly the top option here in this game, $18,600 for a captain. He will be highly rostered in the captain spot. And to nobody's surprise, he provides massive upside. And I mean, it's hard to look at him and just get away from him, you know, because of what he brings upside wise as a passer and as a rusher.
Yeah, to me, you know, again, it's chalky. Everybody's going to have it, but it's one of those where you might not want, you know, you can go chalk with your captain spot and kind of get a little crazy later on in your roster if you really want to. To me, it's a little bit difficult. I've been trying to make a couple of rosters here. I made one where I'm trying to get both quarterbacks in. You know, I really can't get Waller in at all if I want, you know, all these quarterbacks. It's just tough to do if I want Lamar Jackson as my captain. I've done a few where, let me see, the one I liked particularly the best was, let's see, I liked Lamar Jackson as my captain.
Let's put Lamar in as a captain and see what we have.
Sure.
Because it's interesting with Jacobs. See, Drake is priced up at, well, and he's not priced way up. You know, he's not.
He's not juiced too high.
No. I think you have to play Williams at 6'8".
Yes.
As a running option. The question is, who is cheap enough? Oh, yeah, you can definitely get Lamar Jackson in here because of the cheaper. Look at all these guys on the IR.
I know. It's crazy.
Yeah. So if you want to do – let's see. We get Lamar Jackson there. Here's a little stab. I like it. We'll wait on that. Let's see. We need – do we want to go with Andrews at 9,000 or Hollywood at 7,600?
I would do Hollywood.
Let's do Hollywood 7,600. We're going to need to get some Raiders coming back. It's going to be we got 17,000 left for three spots. So it's fairly tough to get Darren Waller in there or Derek Carr in there.
Yeah. I have a lineup that is, you know, pretty much the same build. And I went with Drake and Ruggs as my two Raiders, but then I had to come back around and go with Tucker in there as well. I mean, don't love.
Right, now here's what we're gonna do. Watch this. So we're gonna toss Ruggs and Waller in there. It's like, what? You can't do that. Leaves you with 1,200 left. Well, then you can go with Fabian Moreau as a third. Yeah, you typically want to go four and two. I think 3 and 3, unless you're. I like James Crochet in a game where everyone's banged up. I love this kid coming out of SMU. I mean, I don't know how many snaps he's going to get, but if you do that, you got plenty to work with. In fact, you can even come back and move. I don't know if you can get all the way up to Derek Carr. Yeah, you can't do that. But if there's definitely a stars and scrubs kind of way where you can build this and go with somebody cheap or even come back and go Moreau if you wanted to get Waller in there. And then you're sort of unlocking all those pass catchers.
Right.
I don't know if I love that lineup, but I mean, I think that's sort of the pathway where you can unlock Waller and Jackson, who are probably the two most likely high scorers in this matchup.
Would there be any thought with you to use Tyson Williams as a captain?
Absolutely.
So how would you construct that? Because I made one lineup where I had both Williams was my captain, both quarterbacks, Andrews, Renfro, Ruggs.
So you got both quarterbacks
and then two receiving options for the Raiders. Renfro.
You ruled out a Waller there, which is
kind of sucks.
But I mean, then you go Ruggs and Yeah. Carr, Ruggs, Renfro is 2,800. So you could do that. You could you also do Justin Tucker at 4,000 if you think that they're going to kick a bunch. Yeah, the problem with Tucker is that the Ravens like to go for it on fourth down.
Yeah.
Which means he may see, I think he was eighth in fantasy points last year. But it's indoors. It's a good kicking environment. It's possible they get a lead and they just settle for some field goals and all that. I don't hate Tucker there. He'll probably be popular at $4,000. So it turns out you can actually construct a pretty good lineup fairly easily.
Yeah.
Just because the way it should work, if you're in a normal game, you have a guy like Josh Jacobs who's priced at $10,000. I want to say that the buzz about him being questionable came out before this showdown pricing was released. So you have, you know, I mean, Lamar Jackson is crazy high as a captain, but if you go away from Lamar Jackson, you can basically jam in a good combination of dudes really easily where you get both quarterbacks, both, you know, now the question is, do you want to go away from the tight ends? I think that's the sort of the scary thing you can do.
Right. Like, I don't like when I'm trying to make all these rosters, I'm looking down and I don't see a lot of Waller. Like, I don't love that.
No Waller, you have no Andrews. So if these guys go off and it's possible that they could, you're sort of in trouble there.
Well, I made one with Williams with Andrews in there as well. I had the Williams, Andrews, Carr, Jackson, Renfro, Ruggs.
Let's do that. Let's do Williams as the captain.
Yep.
Then you got Waller.
No, I had Andrews.
Waller. You got Jackson, Andrews, Ruggs. Oh, so you skip Carr, right?
No, I skipped Waller. I put in Andrews for Waller.
Yeah. But you got Carr in there. Oh, and then you can come down and
– Yeah.
And, sorry, we're doing this on YouTube. So if you want – oh, and then you go Renfro right there. I like that lineup.
That's not a bad lineup.
Yeah, so you're basically banking on – And again, all right, so for those who are listening to the podcast, we have Tyson Williams as the captain, Lamar Jackson, Mark Andrews in there for the Ravens, and Ruggs, Carr, and Renfro. And the way that this sort of works is we are anticipating in this game script that the Ravens are going to pound the ball, take some shots, some play action shots in the red zone to Mark Andrews. He's going to catch a couple touchdowns or a touchdown. Lamar and Tyson Williams are going to be the guys who are running the ball late, and the Raiders are going to be playing catch up and be throwing the ball to Ruggs and to Renfro. And you'd like to have Waller in there, I think. I wouldn't be opposed, Sully, because it's weird how this showdown stuff works. I wouldn't be opposed to go. Oh, you can't get Waller in there, can you? If you want,
I'm not sure. Yeah, I don't think so. Yeah.
So you'd have to dip out let's say you got rid of Andrews and Renfro, add Waller, and who could you come back with? Oh, now this is kind of interesting. So let's go Trenton Cannon in there, right? So under this, what we're presupposing here is that the Ravens just run the crap out of the ball. So we have Lamar Jackson, we have Tyson Williams as our captain, Lamar Jackson and Trenton Cannon. These are just the guys who are going to get the carries for the Ravens. And then on the other side, you have Derek Carr, Darren Waller, and Henry Ruggs. And essentially, those guys are going to be playing catch up and throwing the ball. You know, let's say the rate of 50 passing attempts from Derek Carr. And if you get that, you're going to get probably 10 targets for Henry Ruggs and Darren Waller each. So that's I like that sort of build.
That one makes a lot more sense to me. Like that, I like how that looks. And even too, I know we've gone past the props and stuff like that. But even if you look at the over for Carr passing touchdowns, to me that makes a little bit more sense as well. Just because I think it was 10 out of his 16 games last year, he had multi passing touchdown games. Like, so there is a path there too where they're playing catch up. He's obviously has the ability. He has a ton of these weapons where Waller is a great guy in fantasy. You have somebody like Henry Ruggs who, you know, I really like tonight where you can just completely take the top off of defense and do a lot with a little in terms of his targets. So to me, that makes a ton of sense.
All right, I'm going to throw out one more thing and then we'll get out of here because this podcast has gotten long. But we all, when it comes down to showdown, we all sort of presuppose, when you play showdown and if you're entering this $15, is it a Millie Maker? What are they paying out? This is a Millie Maker. Holy crap. Right. So you can win them. All right. There are going to be a ton of people playing in this contest. There are going to be a ton of people maxing out their lineups. they're going to be smart DFS players putting up some crazy stuff. If you want to try to win $1 million, or in this case, it's probably going to be chopping $1 million, like two ways or something like that. But you have to consider at least, and I would, you know, if you're playing in this contest, I would do more than one lineup. If you're considering playing in this contest and you want to be different and you want to try and get to the top, everyone is going to have the notion that the favorite is going to run the ball, and then the Raiders are going to be throwing it back the other way. What if we presuppose something completely different? And that's that the Raiders come out and are chunking the ball around and get a lead, and then are just feeding Kenyon Drake on the back end. Kenyon Drake, 10-8 for a captain salary. And again, we're presupposing that Josh Jacobs is out. And so we've got Derek Carr and Darren Waller and Henry Ruggs, where this is a Raiders go off game. And in this case, we then want to have Lamar Jackson is going to be throwing the ball a bunch while trailing. Can we get Lamar and a pass catcher? Willie Snead, gross. I wonder if we could do, can we get Mark Andrews and Henry Ruggs? No, we cannot. So let's do Devin DuVernay. So in other words, we have a 4-2 split here with the Raiders and the Ravens. We are not playing Lamar Jackson in the optimal lineup. No Lamar Jackson in this lineup. And I'm not saying that I'm putting this in right now. I'm going to think about this. I'm going to play some lineups like this for sure, though. But the idea being, NFL games don't always go like you think they're going to.
Right.
The Titans were favored, and Derrick Henry is going to run all over the Cardinals. Derrick Henry had a horrible game. If you played Derrick Henry in fantasy, you probably didn't do very well. So is there a pathway? What is the alternate pathway that you can think of where the Raiders have a huge game offensively and the Ravens are playing catch up? And if that's the case, you know, how do you do it without Lamar? You know, we could also do this where we take out DuVernay, we take out Ruggs. That'll give us enough. Oh, geez, Louise, Lamar is so expensive. Let's see, we get Lamar in there, and then let's get two like garbage pass catcher. We'll get DuVernay, and then you can add a Hunter Renfrow. But anyway, I'm babbling on. I need to sit down and think about this myself. But it was occurring to me as we were looking at this and building out these Lamar heavy DFS lineups that there is an alternate, like there is definitely a game script where the Raiders have a huge game offensively against a banged up Ravens defense, and you want to be on the other side of that from a showdown perspective.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, you're saying, when you do these lineups, when you're in these contests, it's probably good to have a few lineups in here, you know, a few chalk and then a few contrarian. I mean, look at yesterday. I mean, did anybody expect that Jameis Winston was going to score throw for five touchdowns? But yep, he's somebody who's a millie maker. Like that is a type of play that can get you to the top of these contests. So yeah, no, I mean, you do have to kind of, you know, diversify your lineups. Let's say you're making five lineups. Don't just make all five with Lamar Jackson as your captain. Sprinkle it around a little bit.
Yeah, especially if you're playing in that big contest and trying to win $1 million. All right, Sully, we went really long in this preview. Sorry. But that was good talk. It was a good talk. We broke up some good lineups, did some great betting props and bets. And we will talk to you on Thursday.
Jeremy Renner returns to Paramount Plus for a brand new season of the original hit series, Mayor of Kingstown.
My job is to create a balance, avoid a war.
From executive producer Taylor Sheridan, co-creator of Yellowstone.
There's some new players in town, and they brought the flag.
And Antoine Fuqua, director of Training Day.
I know it's always been a war zone, Mike, but this is next level.
The mayor is back in business.
Are you warning me?
You're going to find out.
Mayor of Kingstown, new season streaming June 2nd, exclusively on Paramount Plus.